Hey, I'm Lee Miller, and I have a vision about reaching people, and the vision involves the people that I came out of, which was Southern Baptist. What I'm going to need you to understand is why I'm doing what I'm doing, okay? To understand this, because if I tell you that I have a piece of software that's going to help you to study Scripture, you have a conception of what that is. And what I am going to be doing is not going to meet that expectation. And so I need to clear that up. And so that's why I'm going to tell you the story. Now I'm ready for my fan. Okay? And hopefully that doesn't get into the microphone. Okay, I come out of a Southern Baptist background, and I've been doing software engineering for 25 years. When I first started, Apple Computer just came out with the Mac Plus. Anybody go back that far? 1985? Okay, the IBM PC Junior was out. Nobody had a graphical interface until Apple came out with one. And so I started database programming in 85 and 86. And I always really liked what Apple did with their graphical interface. And so I didn't want to just develop software that would be locked into Windows. I know Windows is more of a business computer, and Apple is more of a graphic arts musician computer. I understand that. They've had that for a long time. So I was always looking for software that would allow me to write code into one base and then compile it for Windows and compile it for the Macintosh, so I didn't have to do the same job twice. And if you think about that, how many people here have used Microsoft Office? Like most of you? Okay. How many people here have a Mac? All right. Well, Microsoft Office runs on the Mac, it runs on the PC, and it looks similar. All right. So, because I have a Mac and a PC. So I wanted to follow in those same footsteps. I wanted to have something that was what I would call cross-platform. This was how I'd been thinking all along. So when I started doing my programming in the late 80s and early 90s, all that stuff was business-oriented, and I was still following along the path that I was following. Then in the middle 90s, I switched over and started into the Hebrew roots perspective. And at that time, there was just nothing out there that I could find that was helping me figure out what I needed to do. And I always found that to be a frustration because I felt like I was on an island. So it's always been a desire of mine to help those people who come after me. And I still have a lot of friends that are part of the Southern Baptist movement, Protestant movement in general. I have a lot of friends in that area. I just went to a reunion. This is September. It was July. I just went to a reunion 2 months ago of the first Christian band I created 35 years ago. So, you know, and I this fellowship with these people that I went to college with, Old Dominion University down in Norfolk, Virginia, that I went to school with 35 years ago where I created my first band. So I still have some relationship with these people, and even on Facebook I have a relationship with these people. And as I have continued to study Hebrew roots, what I have found is that the new people coming in, it's almost an exact repetition of the questions that the people right before them that came in new had. There's very little variance. It's the same questions they want to have answered. And then in 6 months, the next set of new people come in and they've got the same questions. This is what I'm seeing. So I wanted to find a way to, and if I use the word solve, I know that what I'm doing is not going to solve the problem, but I can be a piece of the puzzle that can address the problem. And that's how I always look at what I do. So in 2000, I was working in Visual Basic 6, which is a Windows platform, and it was a pretty good piece of software, but it only compiled for Windows. So I was evaluating some other software, And it just wasn't mature enough to do what I needed it to do. I didn't want to code it in C++. So I had to wait, and then I was working on some stuff with the web, but it wasn't far enough along. It was very frustrating to be able to put out a product that was equal to what Microsoft would have or some of the other companies. So I just had to kind of like take this vision and put it on the back burner and wait until the software caught up. So this whole year I've been working on the framework for my software, which I know you still don't know what it is, and I'm sorry, but I just have to give you this background. This whole year I've been working on the framework because I had all the code and all the designs and everything from several years ago, and so I just pulled them out and started working with this new language, which compiles for OS X on the Macintosh, and it compiles for XP, Vista, and 7 on Windows, and it compiles on Linux. Not that I use Linux, but it just happens to compile for that. And the language has started to mature after being in existence for 15 years. So I'm looking at this, and I'm also looking at the web because I'm a web designer. As a matter of fact, there are people here who have companies in this feast who have contracted me to do things for their companies using software and using the web. So when you think about what we have to do, you've got the programming language. If you're going to program for the Mac, you've got Objective-C. If you're going to do Windows, it's probably .NET Basic. And then if you're going to do something for iPhone, then you've got something for that OS. And if you're going to program for Droid, then you've got something on that side. And all these different computerized platforms are out there. And then if you're going to use something and you're going to put a website together, you've got to do the HTML. You probably have to do CSS, JavaScript. You may have to do some Java. You're certainly going to have to use some PHP, and then you're going to have to probably tie it into a MySQL database or something else. And us programmers are out here looking at 10 different languages that we have to master to be able to do anything. And it's very frustrating, very frustrating. So this year I was working on the framework of this software with all the intentions, as she will attest, all the intentions of having it here ready for production to go out to everybody here at the feast. That was my original design goal, which I know, once again, you have no idea what I'm talking about. That's okay. But then something happened. In the spring, the company that provides me with the software that I use for my design, like I said, it currently compiles on OS X, and it compiles for the main three Windows platforms. And I was going to be satisfied with that. I was going to be satisfied with that, and I would go ahead and write the website that's going to manage this whole thing, and I would use all those languages, and I was just going to live with it. Okay? And then the software company came out and said, okay, we have now made arrangements that when you create your core framework software, you can now compile it still for OS X, still for three flavors of Windows, but now you can also compile that same framework on iPhone, iPad, Droid, and BlackBerry, and compile it for the website, for a website to run from the same single core piece. And I'm like, well, daggone. And for like 2 weeks, I was in this euphoric state where I could not program. I would try to express to people how excited I was about this, and they would look at me like they knew that there was medication for my condition. They just didn't know what it was. So, but I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that because I have a tendency to get excited about things. So, and you remember, we talked about this on the phone. Okay, I tried to express it. I tried to get some, you know, a non-computer person, give me some input, you know? Okay. So I talked to a few people. All right, so when this happened, I realized that the way I had designed the framework to interact with all these other elements was, while I could have still gone forward, I said, why do that when I can do it from one framework and have it go out in seven different directions? So I stopped the development of the software. And what happened was it came right at the time when I had to turn in to Seasons of Our Joy whether or not I was going to do a breakout session. Because see, what my original plan was is here is I was going to be running the software up here so you could see how everything would be happening. That was the original plan. Okay, so now I've had to take a step back because I have to rework the framework to take all these things into consideration. And the reason you might think, well, you don't really have to do that, but when you understand the vision that I have, the vision that I have is trying to reach Protestant Christianity. Now, I know the switch has to go on in their heads. I understand that. But what I have seen happen in just one-on-one conversations with a number of these people is that even though they're still in what they're doing, they'll say something like, you know, I know something's not right. I just don't know what it is. It's just something's not right. And then I'll start to ask questions or maybe stimulate the conversation in a certain way. And I can tell that they are now ready to hear something, to read something, but guess what? It doesn't exist. So, people who have a phone-like iPhone or any of the other phones that access the Internet will be able to do the same things that people who have a computer on their desktop that accesses the Internet, because that's how those phones work. And now I have the entire market of all of those different phones from one central core framework that I developed that now can run on all those phones. All I have to do is compile it for that phone and then just push it out the door. And so that's why I had to step back from where I was going. All right, so now let me tell you what I'm trying to envision. There are a lot of people, as they come into Hebrew Roots, this has been my experience. They start to pick up their Bible and study. For the first time in their life, they pull it off the shelf and they get down and start to study. They'll buy a couple books, they get a little information, and they really get into it. Then there are other people like these two over here, okay, Glenn and Keith, study day and night. Alright? And they have all this insight. Mike, you probably just study during the day. You sleep at night, right? Yeah, okay. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? It's an education in patience. Okay? There are a lot of people coming into this movement, as well as people, which I'm going to tell you about in a minute, people who are teachers, okay, which I'll tell you about in a second. They have done the study. They have a lot of things that they have developed, but it kind of like sits in the corner over here. This person's got this stuff, and this person's got this stuff, and this person's got this stuff, and that's how the whole thing is scattered out. And there is no collaborative effort within Hebrew Roots to bring the wealth of knowledge and information about how we're understanding the scriptures to the people out there who need to see it. It doesn't exist. Because if it did, I'd be there right now instead of in this class. Okay? It doesn't exist. And just to give you an example, I was sitting down with Eddie Chumney, what is today? Sunday? So it was Friday. And he was going through some material with a gentleman he brought in here from Pakistan. We talked for a few minutes. And so he looked at the little blurb that I had in the brochure, because he has a computer software background. And he said, well, this is what I've got. I've got a X amount of CD hour training on the two houses, the New Testament, and what Yeshua is teaching about the Torah, and this and that, and this and that. Would that material benefit you for the project that you're doing? Well, yeah. That would benefit me greatly. Okay. And I have already talked with a number of Protestant Christian scholars, of which some of them I've quoted, okay, who have material that they are willing to share. And I have talked with a number of people who are just like us, Hebrew Roots people who study, who want to share. So what I am going to put together is a collaborative effort. How close am I to saying that word correctly? Collaborative? Okay. I can't spell it either, but I can write it. An effort where you people in this room will be participating. You won't just be going to find information, but you will be participating with the information that you have studied. Now, I want you to look at it to understand where I'm coming from. I want you to look at it from my perspective, which is the Great Commission. Go out there and teach the people all the things that I've commanded you. Go out there and share with the people all the things that you have studied and found. But how do you do that? Do you have a way to do that? Most people do not have a way to do that. And, you know, there is a lot of inefficiency. There is nobody who is trying to be a warehouse of information. But I have the technical ability to do that. I did this already once for another company, a moving company. And I learned from that experience, and I know how to warehouse data and how to access it. And so I'm moving forward to put this project together so that people can take the stuff that they share. You were talking about the midrash. The other night we were at my house and we were having a midrash. Okay, and you remember the thing that you were bringing out about physical application versus spiritual application, talking about sections of Torah portions. Well, other people need to read that. Now see, I'm not picking on Keith, but he had good questions. He came to me and he said, well, you know, it would really be great if I could look up something in the New Testament, an English word, look at the Greek word that's underneath that, follow that Greek word through the Old Testament Greek, and look at the Hebrew word that that Greek word was translated from, and build a picture. And I said, well, that's great, and you can do that in Bible Works right now. It'll take you about 15 seconds. So there's no need for me to put together a piece of software to do that because it already exists. And they have a staff of 20 people. And they've been in business for X amount of years. So I'm not trying to provide you with a piece of software in which you can go study because it already exists. What is it? We were just given a disk at registration. Was that eSword? Yeah. Okay. So if you got that book, I think the disk came with the book. Somebody got my book for me. Is that right? It was like stuck in the book? It was a separate, like they handed out. That disk has a variety of Bibles, has a variety of commentaries, dictionaries. I looked at a few other things, had some other writings and stuff. That is a very positive thing. What it doesn't have is not a single Hebrew roots commentary there. So how is that going to benefit you? That's the situation we face. But see, there's not just 15 of us. There's 15,000 of us. I communicate with other Hebrew roots people in other countries around the world. I just call them on the phone because I have cheap phone rate, like 3 cents, you know, to the Netherlands, stuff like that. I just call them and talk to them about stuff, and they're like, well, yeah, I have some material I can share. And I have some material I can share. And in the meantime, look at this. Look at this in two parts. People who are in the Hebrew roots movement share what they have found. People who are in non-Hebrew roots go to the web and see that information and go, really? Well, I'll have to look into that a little bit more. So your study, when it becomes available for someone else to find, is like sowing a seed. And we've all heard that parable, right? So this is not new news. So what I'm trying to do is provide a piece of software where you will be able to take those things that you have studied and share aspects of it very simply. You might imagine this in Microsoft Word. You have a document. You type out maybe 2 or 3 paragraphs of study. Okay, just imagine that. All right, so you got 2 or 3 paragraphs, which is a quick overview of a particular passage, a Torah portion, a verse, some concept in a series of scriptures, whatever it is. You've got this down, and maybe it's just an overview of that section. And then in the software is a place where you can say, you just click an Xbox, and now it will remember that you are willing to share that piece of information. And now you're done. That's what it's going to take for your information to be able to leave your computer and go to multiple websites on different servers around the country where people will be able to access it and see it. And that's how hard it was for you to get your material there. Now see, that part I've already constructed. That part already works. It's the interface now that I have to deal with that's going to be addressing all these little intelligent phone things that I have to redress. That's why this program's not going to go into beta until later in this year, because I have to rewrite part of the framework. But as far as being able to make it simple for us, You will, and now, hang on. Rita, you can get information. It's going to be harder for you to share information. I will be thinking about your unique situation. But getting the information to you is not going to be a problem. But making a way for you to share your information is still going to be a challenge. I'm going to have to figure that out. So I'll get back to you on that. You can print it off and share it, but that's not going to reach 200 million people with smartphones. Well, yes, you can. You can. So, see, I'm not trying to take away. Some of the people who have given me input have said, well, you know, I have a blog, and I share stuff in that blog. And it would be really great if, for the time when a Torah portion is taking place, if I could take all the information about that Torah portion, and all I had to do was say, okay, for this Torah portion, create my mini website. And so it just takes all of the pieces of all the different people who have input to that, and creates all these files in a folder, and all he has to do is upload that one folder and create a link to the index file, and he's done. And he's like, oh, I can do that every day. See, I know what people are looking to do, and I have already accomplished that part. But what I'm going to need is people who are willing to take those things that they have learned and share them with others. That's how this is going to work. Now, I have a lot of people who have said they will, but I want more. I want thousands of people to take those things that they have studied and be willing to share them. Now, what's going to happen? You know that we're going to get some people who are going to share some stuff, and it's going to be very questionable. You know that's going to happen. Well, I'm not going to regulate it. You know who's going to regulate it? You are. The reader. Right. Who said that? Oh, okay. Hey, Todd. When you go to pull down some information for something, you're going to see the material that's there, and you're going to decide, oh, No, I'm not interested in that. And it's done. It's gone. You'll decide. It's not up to me to filter the content for you. Because it's not my doctrine. It's not, you know, I like to joke, you know, if you agree with me, then we're both right. But in reality, everybody has to decide for themselves. So, like I said, this is not a piece of software like your thinking it could be. When you first came in, you may have adjusted now. This is a software that will allow you to take the conclusions of your study and share them with other people on a worldwide scale without having to do anything. That's what it's going to do. And, you know, I have all kinds of different things, that different ways that you'll be able to go about that. One of the problems, this is just a simple problem right here. Some of the words that the Christian church has used are redefined and they've lost their original biblical definition. So the dictionary needs to be restored. I have that. We need to have an understanding of what these words meant in Tanakh so that when we get over here and we're looking at what the apostles have written, we can make the connection. This is what I'm trying to provide, because I want these non-Hebrew roots people to be able to, oh, I'm going to go to that site and I'm going to check out what they say about Ezekiel 37. And they're like, two houses? I've never seen two houses before. You know, that link may have come from some passage in Romans, and they're reading the screen and they're reading the section in Romans, and there's a link there, and they go, oh, what's this? They click on it, takes them over here, and here's the information about two houses. They've even heard of two houses. And now they are on a track. This is what I'm trying to accomplish. So this is not the type of software. If you're running a Mac, you're probably running Accordance. If you're running a PC, you could be running BibleWorks, BibleWindows, and a couple of others. I think iSword's available in both, but it's not really Bible study software. It's more like a collection of Christian commentary stuff. What I'm trying to do is make material that we know, we already know, we've already studied it, we already have it, and make it available to all of these people who have no clue. That's what my vision is. And the way I'm going to do that is by using the technological tools that are available right now. most people have a computer at home or a laptop. A number of people have smartphones. A lot of people have access to an internet. I cover all three. That's what I'm after. So I guess I would say that if you have an interest in being a tester and input person for the software, that before you leave today, you need to give me your name. I can get your email address from your registration so that I can put you on the list of all the other people that I have already collected who have said that they will beta test the software on their different platforms to make sure it's doing what it needs to do and to give me input on, you know, this didn't allow me to do it this way. We need to be able to accomplish this, so then I have to change something. If you're interested in helping me with the execution of this vision, then you need to let me know. As you can see, this is not your average software. This is more of a missionary outreach using the knowledge that you've already attained, and I'm going to provide you with the means to get it out there. Now, this doesn't mean that you're not going to benefit, because while you may be studying some passage and sharing that information, there may be some other time when somebody asks you a question and you say, I don't know, well, let me go over here and see what's there. And you may pull down a half a dozen things that relate to that section, and you'll go, oh, I see that. Okay, well, I'm going to go look that up and make sure that's correct. So everybody will be able to benefit. But I need to have Hebrew roots people who want to get on at this point of the bus line going through. I'm looking for people who will help me bring the product to the place where it can start. That's what I'm looking for. Okay? All right, so let me take some questions here.
Are you going to have like a Google Forum search engine and limits if to this kind of input? When you Google something, you know, you get so much.
True. Exactly right. And there could be, now we only have a few hundred people here at this feast, but when you start looking at all of the different organizations that are around and those feast sites, and as people slowly get on board, we could be talking about not just hundreds, but thousands of people who have studied out some things. Now, there's going to be conflicts. This person's going to see something this way, and this person's going to see something this way, and it's going to be like this. But you know what the benefit of that is in the software is that now this person who's going to that passage and looking at it and going, well, this is two different ways of looking at it. I think I'm going to look at this further. I'm going to examine this way. Then I'm going to examine this way. There's nothing lost.
It's like the benefit of listening to a debate.
Yeah.
Two people going at each other, and it's a subject that you don't know a lot about yourself, but you're learning while you just go to one source. It appears logical,
it appears yeah. Yeah, that's the proverb, 18:17. That's exactly what it says. So, I agree. Like I said, I'm not the content manager. I'll have a list of stop words and probably some other things, but that's just pretty much publishing management, so that's not a big deal. It's that I don't want to manage the content, but when you're looking to search for stuff, you will be able to select an enclosed area of the research that's available. To see, what you have to understand, if you have a Word document, and it may only be one or two pages long, okay, and let's say there's not graphics, let's just say it's text, it might take up a certain amount of space on your hard drive. Maybe it's 8K, 12K, some small amount of space. But when you take that same information and enter it into a database in a completely different form without all the formatting, the way that Microsoft Word, now it becomes 1/100th the size. So what that means for me is that I can run humongous databases across multiple websites, which I'll tell you about in a second, and store this information, and people can pull it from different places. So I don't have a restriction on the amount of input people have. You will restrict what is pulled out when you want to see the information. And for those people who do websites, I had to switch to a new provider, a new hoster, because I needed to have some specific features that my current people that I've been using for 10 years don't have. And so what it allows me to do is, instead of having to pay for a host provider for every website that I have, I now only have to pay one price, and I can host as many websites as I want. So I could host 200 websites for the same price as hosting one. So that gives me space. Yes? I'm glad you asked that question, okay, because I'm not. You're going to decide how that's done. For some pieces of information, it could be topical. There could be other things that are dictionary related. There could be other things that are verse related. And there could be other things that are Torah portion related. So you will decide, when you are doing something, you will decide how is this going to be shared. You'll make that decision. It won't be me. And let's say that I have provided you with X number of categories, like topical, like a dictionary, like the Dead Sea Scrolls, like whatever else. And you're looking at that list and going, well, really, what the category that I need doesn't exist. Well, then you're going to create the category. And then you're going to put your stuff there, and that's going to become a new category for everybody else to have. So there will be responsibility on your part, but it's no additional responsibility that you would have if you were sharing that with somebody else. It's the same thing. The only thing is that I'm going electronic because you have a limited number of people that you can physically reach with your mouth. But the web is exploding. And with the new intelligent phones, it's just off the wall. It's off the wall. Why not jump on that train? Why not use that to our advantage to get this message out and let people begin to get that first piece of seed sown into the ground and go, I'm going to have to look into this again sometime. And then God takes over. Yeah, see, I haven't even got a name for it yet. Okay? I don't have a name. Yes, sir.
You mentioned something about warehouse. It sounds like it's the warehouse of inputs. I was wondering also if you might be thinking on let's say the right word, either established or respected, either new features or materials that may be on here.
That's correct. Yeah.
Last year, for example, we came to St. Louis for what was supposed to be a Hebrews prophecy conference. Was there.
Okay.
We heard what he was doing this morning last year.
Oh, okay. I'm not opposed to that. I think that as people hear about this and as it begins to, you know, I look at it as a train pulling out of the station. You know how slow that is. But then it eventually gets up to speed. As more people begin to see what is developing, then more people who are going to say, well, you know, I've got some material that I think would also be a nice addition to this. Right, and I think that that type of thing is outside the scriptures in the sense that it's not solving a specific verse problem, Torah portion problem, dictionary problem. It's not specific. It hasn't drilled down that far. It's more general. And I'm going to have to be careful how I do that, because I don't want to appear to be a propaganda engine to Protestant Christianity. Go ahead.
Actually, I was trying to keep it in view before you talked about first interest. Reaching people who are not necessarily informed about what we're doing, but want to know. That type of material.
Well, I don't know if you were here, but Eddie Chumney sat down with me and he said, listen, I've got all these PowerPoint presentations on all this beginning material. What if I just give all of them to you? Can you then incorporate that in? Well, yeah, I can. So I'm not going to say no, I'm going to say probably. I may have to figure out the best way to integrate it. I may not be at that point yet, but I certainly think that that type of thing has great value. I've just got to figure out the best way to make it a part of the whole thing. Because I want this to, while this may be considered narrow-minded on my part, okay, I want this to be a scripturally focused, I want to find out about these verses, or I want to find out about these topics. I need to look up some stuff about Passover. You know, there's these people down there and they're keeping Passover and I don't know anything about it. That's a topic. Feast of Tabernacles is a topic. But then there's going to be some of the same information that could show up under the topic of Feast of Tabernacles. Some of that information may show up at different verses when people go to look up a verse. They may find similar information. I have to figure out how to integrate that. That would be the only thing I'm saying. Yes, I'm just not quite there yet. Yes. Yes, and this is something that I will have to resolve. Okay, but it's not that I'm opposed to it, I'm for it. I just may not be quite at the point yet where I can answer that question clearly.
People who input or someone should be coding some of these topic things as to sort of levels, like entry level, intermediate, deep studies, very technical studies and things like this, so that people that are just coming into things don't get overwhelmed by trying to go through stuff that is talking way over their
heads. That's a good point.
And other people who have gotten into the subject very deeply, they don't want to bother with just the real basic
work.
And you might even consider including a method of evaluation. Like you know, what did you think of the article? Did you give it an A+ or a B or a C or something like that?
So an internal feedback system.
Yeah, an internal feedback so that people that see a couple of articles, they see one and then repeatedly rated D, let's say, and another one AA. Moody's grades or something like that, where the people that looked at the information said, hey, this is real good stuff, I like it, and this, not so much. You know, I'm not an
Reviews. Yeah, I have seen that before. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Well, see, this is why I'd like to get additional help in the thinking process, because I'm just not going to think of everything. Yeah, I've been programming for 25 years, and I think a lot about a lot of stuff, and I know the questions they don't ask they should have asked, and I put the stuff in ahead of time, and then when they say, oh, and I need this too, I have to go and uncomment a block of code, and suddenly it works, and they think that I have just been sent from another planet. Okay? So, I mean, yeah, I know how to play that game. But there are going to be other things I'm not going to think of. And I had not really thought about that type. What I had thought about was when a person pulls up a piece of information, they're not going to see your name. They're just going to have a code. And if they want to communicate with you privately, they can communicate through that code, but they're never going to have public access to how to reach you or who you are until you release it. And I was going to set it up so that if you've been inputting several things, a person could actually search and say, I want to see all the material written by XLMR. And now all that material comes up from that person, and it could be a gamut of different topics, but they would have access to all that information that just came up from that search. That's how I was thinking. But see, I like what you're saying, too, about being able to have the grading side. Yeah, there's no reason why I couldn't do both. Look at your hand over here.
It's like, again, that goes back to Amazon, because when all of the reviews, you can click on all of them and it says, see all my reviews.
Oh, yeah. I've never done that, but I have seen the link.
Yeah. But just to try to go with the devil's
advocate,
is what Mike said. About the rating, and you certainly think about it, but I've seen instances where you try to rate something and it's entry level or deeper and technical or, you know, solid or whatever. And some people who you might think would come in immediately and would say, okay, I want to know the entry level thing here. They're going to immediately think, I want to see this really deep stuff first. Then they might go there, you know, and they see the really deep stuff and think, well, this is nothing to cover. You know, some things that you, I mean, 10 years ago, some things that I have come to understand now, I would have thought that's nuts.
Well, that will happen too. I can see that because I have gone back and read a book or a journal article 10 years later, and there are things in there that did not grab my attention 10 years ago that are grabbing my attention now. So I know that that could happen. Let me get his first, and then I'll come to you, okay?
I thought the rating system in the scientific game is a little subjective. So I guess to a certain extent, that may depend on the writer, author, style.
True. I agree. I'll tell you what I was thinking. As he was saying it, and he didn't say these words, but the way I was saying, sometimes when I get a journal article, it's mostly in English, okay? But every once in a while, I'll get a journal article where the guy will be writing in English, and then he'll just start writing in Greek or Hebrew, and then it'll stop and go back to English. And there's no translation. You have to know what those words are, or you're not going to get that sentence. Now, in my mind, when you said advanced, that's what came to my mind. Because when I get that type of journal article, that slows me way down. I got to pull out my dictionary for the words I don't know and look them up. And, you know, that slows me way down. So I consider that advanced. Well, that's good, but I've already begun to talk with other people who English is not their first language, but they're going to take a lot of the English material and convert it to their language so it comes back into the dictionary, and then based on the local setting of your computer, it'll bring up the research in that language. So I'm already there. Okay, over here.
I always go back to the bottom line. When people pull up the topic or something that they're really interested in, it's the clear that before it has turned turned on that light,
mm-hmm.
they oversaw it.
Yeah.
If he hasn't tapped them on the shoulder and said, hey, look at this, he will lead them on, because I have to go back to Bible preferences where Jesus said, how big will the Spirit of truth has come? He will guide you into all truth. And if people are really searching and seeking, he's going to lead them on.
And I see that this could be a tool where they could receive benefit. That's how I see this. Yes, sir.
Speaking of which, I have a technical background that is not real time, but there is time with some of the others that were here. And so sometimes when I run into a problem, this is just my story,
You don't know yet. Well, I have to admit that to use this software, you're going to have to understand a little bit about websites. You're going to have to understand what a link is, how to use a mouse, things of that nature. So when you're looking at a page that has scripture on it, let's just take the verse part. And in that verse, there's five words that are either a different color, they have a footnote, maybe they have an underline. You're going to have to know to get additional information. You have to run your mouse over that, possibly click, if you've chosen that in your preference, for a window at the bottom to then display the piece of information associated with that. So there is going to be a level required of some computer literacy to be able to make this work.
Do you understand that?
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the people, other people out there who are new.
Right. We have like the Romans, which maybe is the Bible, which
is
TikTok. And so it gives you a little bit of information to how to navigate your own system. And you click on the things, you know, a lot of the scriptures will show the strong numbers. You know, you click on a word that says, here it is, these are three, you got it all.
Right.
You know, right now. I was thinking about, simple stuff a lot, things like that. I'm just listening to what everybody's going
after,
and I just have to remember. Sometimes I have to go,
That's good. Yes, sir.
Yeah, Holy Spirit guides and all truth, but it also fits what you're building in the house, put a bench around it, socks, and it's all along through the frame. So I think some sort of system of advanced beginner articles or whatever would be good. What I'm visualizing is maybe this is kind of what you've got in mind, or maybe not. Picture it. Open it up, Genesis 1 line. I look at the first word, very cheap. Can I, like, look at something, pull up a list of articles on large effect, words within the first word, and the, you know,
Yes.
Scrolling over that, it will tell you all kinds of things about the first letter and the first word, first petition reading backwards, and the one thing.
If somebody has put it in.
So you would just like that first word, be able to click on it and get a list of topics on the first word.
In a sense. But somebody would have to have added that for it to be present. But then once somebody adds that and is present, now the entire world has access to that piece of information. Because Brad Scott took this thing and said, okay, I'm going to submit this as a overview of the first word in Genesis 1:1. So he clicks, I'm sharing it. And it'll be an overview. Save. He's done. That shows up on the server, and every person who goes to Genesis 1:1, there will now be the appropriate link for that word, and when the person moves their mouth, the overview that Brad wrote shows up. Because he submitted it. That's where I'm at. This is really the body of believers type thing, working together, fitted jointly together. That's what this really is. We're all taking where we are, sharing that piece, and creating this huge animal.
And I assume that you would have a how to use this website section and maybe how it could benefit you or how it...
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have small videos and all that stuff. Yeah, I've already started developing that.
Because one of the major problems today is, of course, sifting through the information.
Which I'm not going to say there's not going to be a glut of information. Early on, no. But down the road, yes.
No system's going to be perfect, but it would be good.
Yeah, and that's what I'm after. All right, well, thank you, folks. I appreciate... Oh, yes, sir. Exactly. And because I already understand search engine optimization, I'm going to have a website that's specifically tailored to bring people in who want to share material and then begin to branch that out. Combined with my own personal contacts and the contacts of several other leaders within Hebrew Roots who will then speak to those people and they will see what exists and then they will pick those sections that they'll be willing to share. So within the first year, I will have a humongous amount of material that will already be in place before the rest of the world really gets a hold of this.
And I was just wondering, I didn't want to have any reveal anything that you want to reveal about the software program, but when you suppose the master became something like the engine, you can do all this.
All right, I can answer that. All right, at 3:30, a few people have to go, but I'm going to answer his question. There'll be another class here at 3:45. On your computer, you will have a database. You won't know this. I mean, if you read the manual, it'll say the word database. There'll be a database installed on your computer when you install the software. And it'll run as a single user database on your computer. You won't interact directly with it, but everything within the software will pull data from the database and put data into the database. Okay? Now, on the web, the multiple websites, each one of those will be running SQL databases. So what's going to happen is that Mike's going to send up something on Passover, okay, and it's going to go into a database. He's only going to use the website as an interface to be able to access storing it up there. Okay, now, when you get to you start up your computer and you're like, okay, well, I'm going to look up something on Passover. Now, you can look up what you already have, but then if you want to see what other people have submitted, then you would then say, I want to get what's available on the web. You'll tell it that, a window will open and it'll tell you this is all the material that's available on the web about Passover that you don't already have. You will select the boxes you want and click OK, all that material is now in the database on your local computer.
Okay, so that means that you probably have to have a GD system on my computer, my personal worksheet, all the high-purpose
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Does that answer that? I don't know if it does. Okay. Thank you, folks. I appreciate it.